Oh, awesome. Thank you, Pastor. Excited to be able to come and share with you today. Last week I went to Visai. Sometimes when God gives us an assignment, I learned a long time ago, I'd listen. Amen. It was like, I don't know why I went to the Methodist Church at Visai other than God had a plan. Amen. It was good. And then on the backside, God will go, "That's why, Mark." And it's funny because it was good. I'm excited. Harvest Time, we do this every year. I have the flyer here. The charismatic speaker that he will not tell himself, Pastor Dusty, will be next week. Even though I love listening to Dusty. God always speaks through him. He'll have a good word. Pastor Mark the next week. Then Mark Shell. And then Cammy Cantu. Who was here when Cammy was here last time? Very good. I mean, and what I've learned about God is he's going to do something as long as we're listening. Amen. And that's something that when he plans this out, we can sit here and tell you that God's got a plan for each week as we do this, and every day really he does for us if we'll listen. And the thing there is it's really not up to God whether or not he wants to bless and love on us and be a part of our lives. It's up to us. And every week I go, here's what I did this week again. I got to say this. I get going. I'm like, God, give me a good word. I'm like, Lord, same word. I'll go, let's go this direction. I got to feel you kind of lead me this direction. But at no point whenever I'm trying to get close to God and I'm seeking a word, does he not, we always end up in the same place. And it's the fact that God is truth. God is love. It's our choice to accept that and walk in that. And he's got good for us every day. And when you get back to the foundation of the word, all the scriptures will point us in the same spot. I can't get away from the fact that the gospel is about Jesus and about what he wants to do in our lives and who he is in our lives and how that all works for us to have joy and peace and love and hope and all the things that God has for us right here and now. And it's available and it's good. Wow. And when the world throws us curveballs and throws us junk, one thing I've learned is there's going to be junk, you know. The Bible tells us that that we're all going to face trials, amen. So in the midst of the trial, what I've learned is I'll be going through some crazy trials, and at the same time, boy, just the blessing, and just see it flowing. Wow. Anybody ever experienced that? Right now I'm walking in some incredible blessing at the same time. There's trials over here and things going on. But how I manage that and how I handle that is how close I am to God. And peace and joy can come in the midst of this because I had to decide, and someone needs to hear this, the trials may never go away. The difficulty of this world and this fallen world that we live in is here to stay until Jesus decides it's finished again. Now, he finished it, but one of these days he's coming back, amen, and I'm waiting for that day, and it may be sooner than we think. You know, I'm not going to sit here and say, you know, proclaim something that only God knows the day and the hour. But I will tell you this, I feel that God, if there's ever a time like any time, it's now. Woo! And as I'm seeking God, he's like, God, I'm like, Lord, what is it? And he's like, my people need me, Mark. And I'm already here. Yeah. Woo! And that's a powerful deal because I'm going to speak over you, Jacoby. I want to speak this word over you. I see you standing there worshiping with your son. Whew. The love of a father. And that you're willing to let that father, father you and father your son. It's a powerful deal, isn't it? I just see what he's going to do in your children. In the name of Jesus. And it's great. You got it, man. And I felt that. And I just, spirits, I just want to speak over you. Don't go to the right or to the left. Just stay the course. Amen. And there's a lot of young people like that. I deal with young people every day. And we teach in school. And Carrie and I, and the world's a dirty place at times, right? And we're out there having to fight it. No more dirtier. I've never seen it mixed up more than it is right now, okay? And in that, God has given me some marching orders to come tell us some things today, and I believe it's going to be dead on. I don't know exactly where this is going to go, but I have some scripture, and we're going to listen to God today, and I pray that the Holy Spirit just speaks to each one of us in our own situations, that we can gain our own revelation of what it has for me, what it has for my children. Because right now what he's going to do is speak to me personally. It's going to speak to my children, my family, and I pray that the Holy Spirit's going to reach you and speak to you for whatever those situations are. Amen? Because God's that big, and his presence is going to be here, and we don't have to guess. I don't have to. It used to come up here and go, well, I'm going to say something that's specific, and God goes, why don't you just let me handle that, Mark? Holy Spirit of God, you know, he don't need me, first of all. He's here. The presence of God is here. But he needs us to humble ourselves and just say, God, do a work. We trust you today. What I love about our worship, submitted, and I see Luke and people that love the Lord, and I see people that are entering in, and I believe this because I stand in it every week. I know that we have people that are willing to surrender and just let the hand of God move from our worship, through our children's ministry, through people here, and it's a great thing. And I see, you know, it's about getting out of God's way most of the time. Wow. That's me today. That's my prayer. So I'm going to pray, okay? Father God, we come to you in Jesus' name, God. And Lord, I throw my crowns, any crown, God, or anything of me down at your feet today and surrender to your mighty plan. God, you have a work for your people, God. And today is the day of salvation and the day of victory. And you always tell me when I go forth to speak your word, God, with power and authority, God, as if my sins are forgiven, and they are today. So by that, God, the Holy Spirit would come and rest upon this service, rest upon this place, and you would open the hearts and minds of your people to receive today, and we give you praise for it and glory. In the name of Jesus, your word will go forth that cannot come back void, and I trust you in it today in faith that you will fill this building. God, it's going to be a great day in Jesus' name. Amen. I always write this down. Welcome everybody here. I forget to do that sometime. Glad you're here. You came, so you're already doing Matthew 6:33. You're seeking God just by showing up, amen? Even if you have a bad attitude about it, getting up this morning, honestly, let's just get real. One thing I want to do this morning is just get real, okay? Even if you have a bad attitude about I didn't get enough coffee, or because that for me, I need coffee. Thank you, Lord, for coffee. And the also, he always tells me, and you guys have heard me say it, if you've been here, God has an appointment for you. And you know what's funny? As he says, Mark, you keep saying that, but do you understand that I am tangibly with my people always. My appointment never ceases. Woo! My appointment never ceases. I start thinking, I say, God, so I get a dentist appointment, doctor's appointment, they get passed off. How many does this? About a month from now, I'll get in. We're going to have an appointment to have a procedure done. We're going to do something when we look at these appointments. And I think, boy, that's a really important appointment. I get to go to the doctor and get something done, or go to the dentist or fix my teeth or do something. But then God showed me, he goes, Mark, do you understand how big the, do my people know how big the appointment of just spending time with me is versus the things that we sit around and stew and worry about and get mad about and anger these appointments that we have? And my appointment's readily available for you today. In Jesus' name, amen. Because it's bought back. It's bought back that the veil was torn, and we can go straight to the throne of God today in Jesus' name. I can go straight there. I used to think Pastor Mark had to stand in the gap for me. I used to think that people that are better than me have to stand in there because they know God better than I do. You see what I'm saying? And God one day just said, Mark, go forward. You can go forward and speak the word with power and authority as if your sins are forgiven, because they are. And you can stand in the presence of the Holy Spirit with me, because I made that way by the blood of my Son, and no one can take that back from you. Woo, in Jesus' name, I can stand in the presence of the Almighty today, and so can you. And I also had to get to the point that he will protect me. Wow, he'll protect you in Jesus' name, because the victory we have there goes way beyond this world. Even if it ends for me today when we go outside this door, you or anybody else, I want eternity with my Savior. And you know what's great about God? We can experience that kind of peace and joy right here and now. Wow, even when it doesn't look right in our flesh. God, someone needs to hear that. Even if something that you're going through right now, someone needs to hear this, is not going well for you right now, there is victory in Jesus. Romans 8:28 says, all things work together for the good for those who are called according to his purpose. Woo, let me tell you something. If you know Jesus is your Savior, you're called according to a purpose. And we all are. Amen. Wow. Okay, let's go to this. All right. Here's some common phrases I hear, all right? So stay with me. We're going to go through this. And I do this, you do this. Be careful. for me, what I'm going to tell you today, we need to be careful with how we speak over our family, our children, our future, and things like that. And we got to start laying a foundation that's firmly in this. Because if I've discovered something, nothing that I naturally want in my flesh, the fallen world of me that wants to chase things that are not good for me ever works out. But every time I chase this Bible, every time I chase this word, I have victory in it and I cannot be defeated. There is no reason to quit. And over here is the guidelines, the map. This is the exact 100% truth of the world, no matter what anybody tries to tell you different. And if I chase this and I follow this, I have victory and salvation every day in Jesus' name. And when I don't, at some point, failure and misery and the end of the world for me in certain ways is coming when I chase the world. Bottom line, we can go home because that's what God said, told me to tell you today. No, it's better than that. Let's get victory from this. So I said, okay, so God, what is it? And I know young people, and I hear what kids say to me, and I look at them, I'm going, I look at our kids at school. So can we get real for a minute? This is not, right now we have to start standing in the gap. We have to start going forward in our own household with our own children, our own grandchildren, and start giving a foundation and a plan that's guaranteed to work instead of the one that they're getting all day long. Because the one we're getting all day long, I'm like, God, what is it? It's not good. Okay, so here's what he says. Go do what you want. Hey, go do it. Go out in life and go take it on. Go do what you want. Bad assignment. Okay, I preached at graduation a few years ago, and God really showed me this. He said, we have got to start. Hey, young people, go out there. Go do what you want. Every time I went and did what I want growing up, not knowing the Lord, it was wrong. Can anybody testify to that? Amen, brother. So here's the deal. We need to stop saying, go do whatever you want. We need to start saying, go figure out early on in life what God wants for you and run the other way if you can. So we're actually giving the exact wrong instructions to people, especially the next generation. Here's another one. Just go do what feels right. Woo! I don't even need to say anymore, do I? Wrong. Go have fun. Wrong. Now, we can have fun in life, but we be careful because God, the serving God, I've learned, is fun. Wow. Seeing the love and the hope of people and watching people, you know, and getting a relationship where you love them beyond the fleshly, pridely things is such a great thing and a great reward when you don't want any credit for anything. And just to see people have peace and love and hope, to see a young man have hope in Jesus is better than anything. You know, for me, when I go out and I coach and I see these kids and they get hope in that, I'm like, wow, God, take care of them. Have them a life and a future and a hope. Jeremiah 29:11, we're going to get into that. Maybe it'll work out. Okay, listen, I'm going to tell you something. Yeah, maybe go forward, do what you want. Maybe it'll work out. This will always work out. Now, people always say, boy, are you sure, Mark? Yes. At no time in my life, I'll tell you right now, that the Word of God has ever failed. I have multiple times. And I fail a lot. It seems like right now I'm going, I may fail next week, but here's the deal. I'm never going to stop pressing in, even when I get mad at the umpires or lose my cool and feel like, gosh, why did I embarrass myself, Lord? Because you have flesh, Mark. You mean it's not going to go away, God? Not yet. God never showed me that. God never said, hey, Mark, as soon as you get saved, you're never going to have a trial again. It's all going to be hunky-dory. And here's the other thing, Mark, you'll never sin again. Do I want to be that righteous? Yes. Do I chase God that way? Yes. Do I fall short in that? Absolutely. So we need to quit stepping on the gospel and the blood of Jesus, the fact that we don't need a Savior because we can do it ourselves because we never could. It's the free gift that God gave us. And I'm saved today by the blood of the Lamb and no other way. I will never be righteous enough to accept that kind of position in the world. Does everybody understand that? Never will we be righteous enough to stand in that place. I can be more righteous. It's not a license to sin, though. I had to get that a part-time. I'm like, well, you might just do this and ask for forgiveness. Lord, not really, Mark. You just go down that road, and then you're not following this. You're chasing something else. Oh, so I can follow this and fall short sometimes? Probably. You see what I'm getting at. Now, the deal is I want to get better. I want to grow. Okay, here's another one. Just have fun for a while, and it'll work out here, you know, for a while. No. We give too much of our lives away to chance or luck. You know, if you ever go to the casino, you guys have ever done it, play gamble, this and that. Don't trust luck for very long because it isn't on your side, okay? And so, you know, it's not by chance. God did not put us in a situation that was by chance. It's by certainty, okay? And we all need to know that. We need to hear that. We encourage our youth and kids to do the same. We need to start doing that. Okay, so I'm going to go to John 15, 4 through 7. And I think this is where I want to start. Yeah, Thomas said to him, okay, he's talking to Jesus. Lord, we do not know where you're going. Okay, so right now, be honest with yourself. Do you know where you're going and your kids are going and the people around you? Maybe not. We have great hope for them, right? We have great hope for them. Are we instilling the things that they know? Because right now when they're talking to Jesus, they're going, we know, okay, this is the Lord. This is the Messiah. This is Jesus here. And they're at, Lord, we don't know where you're going. And he says right here, Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. If you have known me, you would have known my Father also. And from now on, you know him and have seen him. Okay, no one comes to the Father. So I want to clear this up. There's no other way to God than Jesus. Okay, I'll say that and I'll proclaim it for anybody who goes, well, our religion or our deal, I don't really care what you say or you think. I know for a fact Jesus Christ is Lord. And we just need to be bold enough to just say it. And we also need to be willing to go forward when God tells us to proclaim it and say it. It's okay. Because you know what? I know that he's got to have my back every day. It doesn't matter how boldly or whatever we get. God's got your back. I'll just say that. Do not love the world. Okay, here's the key scripture. 1 John 2, 15 and 16. This is what God showed me for today. And we're going to go through different passages. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes and the pride of life. Okay? Lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. Let's just tell the truth. The things we lust after are not of the Father. Our first instinct oftentimes is to choose junk, the pride. It's got to be about me. I'll be better than everybody else. I want to preach better than these. See, I don't really, but I want to preach better than all these people. So, you know, that would have been marked 20 years ago. I don't really care. I'm just going to try to do what God told me to do. You see what I'm saying? Pride of life. I want to be good at this. I just want God to say, good job, faithful servant. That's it. Don't care about anything else, okay? So lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, pride of life. I'll real simply say this. We get it thrown in front of us all day. Our kids on their phones, my goodness, guys. I don't want to go back there and start over at that age with the junk that we have today. Wow. So if we don't start giving the truth, we don't start giving assignment in this, here's the thing is, and I know, sometimes I stop. I'll say this. Jesus is going to rescue us when the day is to come because we live in a dark world and the day and the hour could be at hand because there's a lot of junk. I laugh about it. We can't just throw, this is just me personally, all of us can laugh at this because I laughed at it. You mean they can't just show me a really cool car on the ad on Facebook without also putting the girl on it and also you go to a boxing match and we have the girl walking around. I mean, think about all the different things that we see. It's just in your face, okay? And it is the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life that's after us. Let's just say it. And we're looking at it and staring at it all day long. Here's the problem. So are our kids. And so are the youth. Wow. And we've submitted as a society and people to going down that road and chasing it. Don't just have fun and do what you want. Follow God's plan. We're all in that, okay? Okay, so here's the command in this. This text begins with the command. Do not love the world or the things of the world, okay? Show me what they are, God. You see what I'm saying? This will teach us. We start to walk out salvation. The day I was saved was the beginning. Okay, this is funny. It's the end of me. I am saved. But it is the beginning of the war for me to start walking out all the things that I want to have in my life with God. Salvation is now I got you, God. You're right. I love the Lord. We've all been there. If you're saved, you know what I'm talking about. And you're on fire for God and you're doing that. And so now I start replacing these things. I had a dream one time where I had a trophy and I had all these trophies that the enemy had built up. Wow, I don't know what I wasn't gonna go here. I saw this vision of a person in my dream that I was trying to help. And there were these trophies and their heart was opened up. And it was sexual sin, it was drugs, it was depression, and I saw Jesus, and what I saw was these bottles being removed as they walked out the things of the Lord in their life. And what God showed me, he goes, Mark, I'm so good. And I saw the water of the Holy Spirit of God. I saw this water pour in and fill every nook inside this person's life. And it eliminated every bad thing, every evil thing. Wow. Because here's the thing. Somebody here needs to hear this. You're saying, God can't fix that. Yes, he can. Somebody's saying, God can't repair that. Woo, yes, he can. He is completely the redeemer and the restorer and the transformer of your life. And you know why I stand before you today? Because I know I'm bought back by a purchase price of Jesus. And he sent me to do a work. And I'm going to tell the Lord yes when he calls. And we all need to do that. Whatever you're doing. Now, if someone needs to hear this too, it may not be to preach. Just do it with your family. Do it with your children. Be that person. God would tell us that. I like it. At the end of this, God showed me this. And the world is passing away and the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever. So here's the thing. If we're chasing the world's fading away. And what God showed me is, and you're fading away with it. By the word. It's not what I'm telling you. By the word, it tells us that. If the world's fading away and we're chasing it, then we're fading away with it. So either I'm fading away with the world or I'm moving towards Jesus and gaining the victory that he has for me. You're one of two people, and God told me as an evangelist, I'm not really a pastor. I believe that God made me a prophet and an evangelist to go speak the word and stand in front of the people and tell the truth. Okay, and proclaim the gospel and the victory that we have in Jesus. That's it. So my messages always get to be similar. I mean, they're almost the same in nature. Okay, we need to seek God. Okay, and when we seek God, he will unveil a plan for you that cannot be defeated or stopped. And you need to hear it by testimony. The word tells us that by the blood of the Lamb and the word of your testimony, God told me to do two things. Tell them about the blood of my son, Mark, and testify that I'm good. And you never will go wrong by God's word. By the blood of the Lamb and the word of the testimony. That's what God tells us to do as we go forward. The world's passing away. Okay, so I'm going to get into this. I'm going to go to Genesis, and I want to show you something that happened. Wow, Genesis, everybody know that's the first book of the Bible? Okay, so here's the deal, what I'm going to tell you. It hadn't changed, okay? So it has because we have Jesus, but I'm going to get to that point. I'm going to go to Genesis chapter 3 right here. And this is when Satan is talking to Eve in the garden, okay? None of this has changed, and we're going to try to get a revelation. I believe God's going to bring us a revelation. But he said, but of the fruit of the tree which in the midst of the garden, God has said, this is Eve talking back to Satan. God has said, you will not eat of it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die. God just showed me this. If the world is fading away and we're chasing it, lest you die. Because I will tell you this, if I'm chasing the world spiritually, I'm walking in spiritual death. Dying is just walking away from God. Do you see the analogy there? Because I am walking defeated, purposeless, with no victory when I'm chasing the world and it's fading away. Wow. Lest you die. The spiritual death that we receive is just not being aligned with God. Now look, the victory that we have, let me make sure you understand this. I'm saved by faith, okay? I'm saved by grace through faith, excuse me. And so since I am saved, that's a free gift of God. I know I'm saved, but I could be spiritually walking in death here just because I'm not following God. I know I can be saved and chasing the world. Do you understand what I'm saying? Everybody go, well, you can't. No, you can. You can know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and it's a free gift, and you can be in communion and fellowship with the world and chasing it. I've chased it. Has anybody chased it? Who knows they're saved, but you've chased it. Woo! Sometimes we just got to tell the truth. Okay, so we're going to go on here. Then the serpent said to the woman, "You will not surely die. Go have fun. Go do whatever you want." There it is. Been going on ever since. And you know who's guilty of continuing to pass that word down? We are. It's okay. Looks good. Go for it. Okay? "For God knows that in the day that you eat of it, your eyes will be open. You will be like God, knowing good and evil." In other words, your pride will come in, and you'll start being your own Lord, and you'll think your plan's better than God's. Okay? Still happening today. Okay? Now, so when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, that it was pleasant to the eyes and a tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. She also gave to her husband, and he ate with her, and he ate. Lust of the eyes, the flesh, and the pride of life. See the correlation there. It's been happening since, this is day one, as far as when the sin fought with the fallen nature of mankind. Okay, and then Jesus comes in. Whew, thank God. Now I'm going to tell you something that's going to be clear. You all already know this, but we're not doing it. I don't know how to stand here and walk out, even in Leedy, in Western Oklahoma, and tell everybody what I'm trying to do so we can all start. There's some people that get it. Well, here's the problem. A lot of people get it, but then they just don't do anything about it. He's called me and sent me to do something about it. Doesn't mean he's calling you to that, but you can in your own home and your people in your own midst, in your own circle of influence. We can. Okay? So I want to go to when Satan tempts Jesus, and let's look at the difference. I've preached on this before. So let's see what happens when Satan tempts Jesus. Jesus was led up to the Spirit by the Spirit in the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, Jesus fasted 40 days and 40 nights just so he could, because he knew the temptation of the devil. And yet we can't see God for a day and think that we need to get pressed in. Jesus in the flesh here. You see what I'm saying? He's God and man here. Okay, 40 days and 40 nights. After it, he was hungry, been starving. And this doesn't just mean food hungry. Hungry in our flesh, hungry for desire, hungry for all the things that you guys hunger for. Do you see what I'm saying? Including me. We can hunger for a lot of things if you haven't figured that out. We can chase a lot of things that we hunger for. It says hunger, and then that always turns into whatever it is that we're hungry for, that we've starved ourselves of. Okay? Okay. Now when, I'll go on. Now when the tempter came to him, he said, "If you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread." But he answered, said, "It is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." Then the devil took him up into the holy city, set him on the pinnacle of a temple, and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge over you, and their hands," they see how the enemy tried to twist it. Hey, it's written. You see, he tries to throw it back at Jesus. "Lest you dash your foot against the stone." Jesus said to him, "It is written again, you shall not tempt the Lord your God." Again, the devil took him up on an exceedingly high mountain. Here's the one that stands out to me. "And showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, all these things I will give to you if you will fall down and worship me. Then Jesus said to him, away with you, Satan, for it is written." Okay, three times the enemy went to Jesus and said, "I'll give you the whole world. I'll tell off on myself." When I started preaching, I was like, "God, you're going to send me the whole world." He goes, "How about just one little boy that I send you one day, Mark? Is that enough? Or a grown man?" And I had to be, I just want God's plan. You see what I'm saying? But we cannot get away from our flesh nature telling us the pride of life, because I'm like, "God, you're calling me out and sending me wherever you want me to go. And I'm going to go and preach to tens of thousands." Pride of life. "I will give you all the mountains." I'm like, Jesus is like, "Listen, Mark," and I haven't went through this in my own personal life. "I've called you and I've purchased you. I'm so thankful that you'll go forward and you have courage and you go forward with me." That's the only thing I have is faith in God, really. Because, you know, for me stepping out and doing that, I thought, do I deserve anything? No. I don't really deserve anything. That's when you know that you've gained the revelation of Jesus, when he's that big in your life. Man, that's good. "It is written," three times. So Jesus himself, we sat here in Leedy today, facing this terrible world of struggle that's coming our way on social media, on TV. The perversion is running rampant, let's just say it. And it doesn't just mean the simple perversion as well. It's in everything. Perversion is just anything, in my opinion, that doesn't line up with God, that's perverted even by the Word. Even when Satan right here tried to twist the Word and throw it back at Jesus. See, the enemy knows the Word too, and he's going to try to twist it. You see, it is written, is this, okay? So if Jesus is your Lord and Savior, and he says that when he's tempted by the enemy, and when his temptations come, he tells the enemy that it is written, I have to do this myself. I have to stop and go, whew, I'm hungry, God. My desire, my flesh is not, I'm not doing a very good job here. It is written. And you know what happens when I will stand upon the it is written and continue to seek that? The enemy will flee. He'll hang around until you tell him no. By the word, the enemy will flee when you tell him to get behind me, Satan. It is written. Because he may twist it on you. Oh, it'll be okay. Just this one time. Just another week. In two more weeks, we do this. What is it? I'm going to laugh. We have a New Year's resolution. We always, what is it? Resolution or whatever we tell. Yeah. We tell ourselves, I'm going to lose 20 pounds next year. We'll wait on next week. Okay. That's just a funny analogy. But I'll start seeking God next week. It'll be okay for one more week for me to chase this world. You already know the answer, Sean. I don't have to say it, right? Probably not. All right. Probably not. Okay. So. Anyway, we have to remember it's not a license to sin and how good Jesus is, okay? So I'm going to run through the next part of this and try to bring this home with a couple of scriptures that God showed me. We can run through all the analogies of the Bible, and what I've learned through them is I have to seek God. It's Matthew 6:33. That's one of the call ministries on my life. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. And the thing that we forget is that we're seeking his righteousness. See, we misread it. We're thinking, I'm going to seek God so hard that I'm going to become his righteousness. Can I be in Jesus? Yes. Will I ever be his righteousness? No way. Because he's the righteous one. So I'm actually seeking to be in him. And at one time in my life, the enemy tried to come and say, Mark, you're just hiding behind Jesus. I'm like, absolutely I am. 100% of the time. I want to be in Jesus. He has to protect me because I know I'm weak in myself. It's okay, guys. One thing we have to do with the pride of life is just go, it's okay. I'm going to struggle at times and I need Jesus. So I'm going to run and be in him. Amen. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by through me. Okay. Romans 6:16. Let's read this because really relevant scripture. I'm not trying to be hard on this, am I? Is this hard a little bit? That we're seeking the wrong things. Okay, I want to lighten this up. We got to understand where our victory comes in. Because you're one of two people today. When God gives me marching orders, he goes, go to my people, Mark. There are one or two there. They either need to be saved, they need to know salvation, or they need to start walking in the fullness of the victory of the blood of it. Wow. You mean, God, I'll never get to a place that I can't go deeper? The song we sang? No. Let me tell you something. It's impossible to go too deep in God. Can you go deeper today? Yes. What do we do? I'm doing pretty good. Life's going pretty good. I'll just stay right here. There's no such thing as staying right here. I teach young athletes and boys all the time. They're like, I'm a pretty good hitter right now. I'll just stay right here. Listen, I learned this in sports. You're either going forward or you're going down. There is no staying the same. So the moment you start telling yourself, I'm just staying the same, you're going the wrong way. There's not such thing, okay? If you're going to pursue God, you're either going up or you're not. You're not just staying the same. So when life gets easy, I learn. That's when I kind of press in more now and get more victory. Someone needs to hear this. If it's going pretty good for you and you know the Lord, you're doing pretty good, start pressing in now. And when the enemy comes, it doesn't have near the effect on my life when I'm seeking God in the good and the bad. When I'm seeking God when it's good and I'm pouring into God and I'm chasing him and life is good, I have so much security and peace over there that when the trial comes, it just get behind me, Satan, because I'm powered up. But when I'm chasing the world and the trial comes, it's hard for me to even get on my feet. Whew. That'll preach, okay? Because Jesus is that good. Okay, Romans 16, 6:16. Do you not know that that to whom you present yourselves slaves to obey, you are that one slaves whom you obey, whether of sin leading to death or obedience leading to righteousness? Here's what I'm going to tell you, what the Holy Spirit shows me too in this. Chasing sin leading to death cannot trump card the fact that I'm saved by grace. So this death that we're talking about here is that I'm spiritually dying. You understand? Sometimes we read the word when we don't read it with the Holy Spirit. We just read it literal. Well, if I keep sinning, I'm going to die. It means you're already dying if you're chasing the world. Because when my spirit man's dead, I'm not any good. Has anybody ever been there? When I'm chasing the world all the time, I am already spiritually dying. You see? But it can't... Don't take the word death here as something that's inevitable, because I know I'm saved. I'm just as saved now as if I die when I walk out those doors. I'm going to be at heaven with my Lord. But He wants me to live the victorious overcoming life here and chase God's plan in my life so it can be manifested throughout the world, through my children and through their children's children and beyond. Do you see what I'm saying? He's got a call on that, and He's big enough to do that if I'll just keep seeking Him. So I don't want to be spiritually chasing the wrong things so that I'm walking around defeated. You ever get around people that are defeated? Oh, I have a hard time. I got to get powered up because I go and talk to people. People call, hey, you want to come help me? Yeah, there's a whole bunch of defeatedness coming. I got to get ramped up. I mean, honestly. And sometimes I'm the one that's beat up because the world's been beating me up for 2 weeks. And I'm like, okay, I'll try to help you, but I don't know how much I got to pour out. Because whether you haven't figured it out or not, it's not really what I'm not pouring me out. I'm pouring Him out. And I better put a whole lot of Him in so when somebody asks, I can pour that back out. Amen. So we're going to be slave to one or the other today. Okay, and I know that's hard. But I also want to give you the good news that if you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, it's the gift. And God would say, just follow me. Are you big enough to fix that, God? Yes. Because I used to stand, I'm going to say it one more time because it preaches. I used to stand in front of God's people and try to justify myself of the things and the mistakes and the mess up that I made all the time. And I better qualify myself right quick, God. And God just said, Mark, stop. I stood back. Mark, I need you to preach the word with power and authority as if your sins really are forgiven. And I said, no more, God, will I go forward and talk about my past because you've already forgiven it. No more do I need to walk out of these doors of my children and family and live in the past that is already under the blood of my Savior. No more do you need to do that. Someone needs to hear it. Don't go out of here and start walking in the junk that God's already forgiven. Woo! That'll preach. That's good. That's good. Expose the darkness. I love this. One of my favorite scriptures. If you get something out of today, this last part, the bit I'm going to bring to you now, is what I feel like it's going to be Ephesians 5, 8 through 14. We got to thank my wife. She's really good at following me. Sometimes it's in Ephesians, okay? And I love this. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all the goodness, righteousness, and truth. Finding out what is acceptable to the Lord, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. Stay right there with me, babe. There's so much in that knowing what's true. Finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. Right here, I started seeking it every day. Wednesdays, whenever I could. Getting it right all the time? No. But I wanted to find out, what do you accept, Lot? What do you accept? And I go, I remember one day going, you don't accept that, God? I didn't know. See, I didn't know this. So when I first was saved, I was running around going, wow, that's an area of my life I got to get better at. I'm going to give you that, Lord. I'm going to give you that trophy, Lord, and you fill it up with some of you. But here's the deal. If you start giving your trophies out, and you don't fill it up with God, that empty hole will start crying out for that trophy. You better fill it up with God. Because He's the only thing that can fill it up like water and fill up all that junk. He's the only thing that can fill that junk up. You start laying your trophy. I'm bold enough. I'm going to set that over here going, I really like that trophy, God. I really want that trophy back, God. You better start filling that hole up, that empty space. or you're going to start crying out for that trophy, aren't you? We've all been there, and you all know what your trophies are, okay? And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. This is what I start going to my pastor. I'm dealing with this. Pastor Martin and I talk about all the time. Pastor, I'm dealing with this. I'll pray with you. Let's do it. Because I'm still today, and I will be the rest of my life, being exposing the unfruitful works of darkness. Yeah, expose them. Do you know what I started finding out when I brought them to the light? Oh, and it made manifest to the light of the Lord. That's how you can put that trophy down and you can begin to move forward. Shine the light of God on it. See, a lot of, you know what people are afraid of? To get up in front of people and say, this is who I am, this is how I messed up, or their spouse or somebody, and confess their sins. You're scared. People are afraid. Would you agree with that? That'll preach. Because what I started doing, you get exposed, you start exposing it. When you start finding out, God, when I expose it, you're good and you fix it. I have peace and joy now. I go to my wife, and here's what I do with my wife. Stuff that I deal with, I tell her everything. Well, when I first got married, I sure didn't want to. You see what I'm saying? We have a relationship that we're growing and walking out, and if I deal with something, I go straight to Carrie, and I go, this is exactly what I'm dealing with, and I don't know why it's in my life, but I need to expose it to you as my wife, and you help me, and we can fix that together. Woo! That's good. And sometimes that's hard, but God wants us to pray with. Finally, I started praying with my wife. It took me a long time. Too long. And then after I did, I started also taking everything. You know what happened to me? To me also, she didn't condemn me. You know why? We were getting taught good preaching here, and she also knew that she's the same failure that I am, either in that way or another, and together we could walk out each other's misery and miserable past. Do you see what I'm saying? Because when I did it, you know what she never did to me? Here's the deal. Husbands and wives, and I started to do this back with her, what she started doing, she never condemned me as my wife. She loved me right there, and she said, honey, let's get after it, and let's see if I can help you. And I go, okay, let's do this. And the one thing I can tell you that made my relationship true is God made Carrie for me, or I would not be anywhere where I'm at today if my wife was going to condemn me about every mistake because I wanted to expose them. And who was I going to expose them to? I was just going to leave him in the darkness with me and Satan and let him just run rampant in my life. Wow. That's... We're pushing back darkness. Because it's true. Everything that we should be talking about, I mean, it's preaching to me today, and I pray that it's preaching to you. Because work together, it's okay. And I get mad at Carrie sometimes, and we'll have a fight, and I'm like, you're right, hon. We get really quick at, I'm like, I forgive you, forgive me first. We really run to each other and try to ask for when I get mad. And sometimes I just get mad and fly off the handle. Then I'm running there, honey, please forgive me. And it was funny the other day because I'm going to tell off on you, Carrie. She just goes, I'm just choosing to be mad at you for the next 10 minutes. I'll be out. Okay. She stayed in the bedroom. She goes, I want to make a choice to stay mad for 10 minutes. I go, okay. Is that okay, babe? Yeah. She had every right to be mad at me, but, you know, it's just one of those deals. I want to tell you that because we want to help people. If you're married, I want you guys to get that. Because you know if you really love your spouse, you really are saved, you really are seeking the same thing, that you're going to mess up and have grace for each other. You know what I started doing with my players on the field too? I would correct them on mistakes and stuff, but it never trumps the fact that my kids that I coach, my own children, are going to know that it'll never be more important than grace and love that I have for them. Because they need to see an image of the Father in me. That Father. Not a condemning man that is going to drive them the wrong way. As leaders, as people, we have to get that. I learned that no matter how hard I get onto a young man, I'm going to hug him and love him and have grace for him and believe in him the next time, even if he messes it up every time. I still have to have grace and love in my life as a leader has to trump card the mistake that I also condemn and teach through. So if you're in charge, if you work with people and you want to condemn a mistake and tell, condemn is not really the right word. You want to call out a mistake, okay, and you want to correct it, and then almost always after the next inning, I'm like, come here, hey, I love you, bud, good job. We got that fixed now, okay? You're going to be better next time. I just use sports as an analogy, but they're going to mess it up in real life too. You see what I'm saying? But if I've already seen an image of a father that loves them with grace, Oh, that's where joy and peace comes from. That's where victory lies. But the world just tells you you're bad and you're afraid for everybody to see how bad you are. We all are. We all deal with that. Okay, so, wow. Finding out, okay, rather expose them. I'm going to go on from here. For it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. We don't want to speak of them. But all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light. And if you know this, the light is Jesus. For whatever makes manifest is light. Therefore, he says, awake, you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you life. See, if you can arise from the dead, you really didn't die physically. You were dying a spiritual death. And what Jesus is telling all of us and telling you today is arise from the dead, and I will give you life. And you know how he can do it? Right now, you don't have to leave here and start do anything perfect. You can choose it. God is not this condemning God that the church has made out for so long. He's not sitting there going, well, I'm not going to give you light until for 2 weeks here. You read your word every day, you pray with your wife, and you start giving you all the... You see where I'm going with this. Arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. So what we just read about in Scripture in three different places took us to the same place. Thank you, Jesus, for showing me that. He really didn't show me that till just now. And Christ will give you light. You will arise from the dead. Wow, that's a pretty good word. And now that we're rise from the dead, you can rise from the dead today. From this dead place, again, you got to remember, we're talking about Hebrew here. We're translating Hebrew, we're translating word, but Holy Spirit is clear how he interprets it. Holy Spirit is more clear than just trying to translate the word by the word in English. Do you understand? The Holy Spirit's more clear if you're in tune and seeking God. He's going to preach to you. Okay, so awake, you who sleep. So today, here's our challenge. For 4 weeks now, we're going to be getting different kinds of messages. This was mine today, is to tell us it's okay wherever you're at. Expose some things in your life. Work through the junk and the darkness. Bring it to the life. Bring it to the light. Arise from the dead and start walking out the victory that you have in Jesus and go forward and do everything you can not to turn back. And you know how you do it? Fill it up with God. Seek God, because we need to fill the void as you start fixing some things in your marriage, with your children, life going forward. When you start fixing these things, your flesh is going to want those things back. It leaves a void. And here's the thing. Every religion, everybody that chases anything that doesn't put Jesus in that empty hole, they can't win. Your flesh is not going to win that battle. Spiritual religion is not going to fill that void. Only love and grace from a Father that is unconditional can fill that hole. Wow. You're going to fail in the conditions. And the enemy is going to tell you how bad you are because he's going to try to make it about the conditions. Well, you messed up yesterday, Mark. Okay, well, I'm not going to today. Again, not a license to sin. I can say it 100 times. Okay, so we're going to go to my wife's favorite scripture. We're going to wrap up here. Jeremiah 29:11. Is everybody with me? Are we getting something out of this? It's good. I just wanted to see that we need to be seeking God, seeking victory, seeking salvation, and we need to pursue it. In the next 4 weeks, I'm praying that everybody here comes with a new idea that, okay, what do you got for me today? Pastor Dusty's going to bring a word next week, and the Holy Spirit's going to show up, and he's going to speak to you, and you start putting that in, and every day. See, when I found the Lord, I got to testify to this. Carrie and I were going to church. I had to go to church on Wednesday and start getting in my word, because by the next Sunday, I was dirty. 7 days was way too long for me to not be in God when I first found the Lord, because the world was so dirty, my flesh was crying out to me. You understand what I'm saying? So I'm running around chasing junk. I'm like, 7 days, not enough. And I wasn't good at reading. I'm not a really good reader. I'm a hearer of the word, not. So I had to start reading the word, and Carrie and I started going on Wednesdays. We started seeking counsel throughout the week, and it bridged the gap for me to have victory the next week. And I got it. You see what I'm saying? And slowly but surely. But for me to go, I had a great Sunday here. I'm going to go out the doors. I'll see you next week. Woo! I'll see you in 7 days and hope Pastor Mark can give me something good. You get what I'm saying. And there was a time someone needs to hear this too. Stop waiting on Pastor Mark or me or somebody. God wants you to come to the throne. I don't have the power other than of God. Can God give me the power to preach and the power to lay hands? Absolutely.
Do I believe it's tangible to the touch? Yes. Do I believe the love of God's that big that he can use people? Yes. But God wants you to start going straight to the throne. Because I used to just call Pastor Mark with every worry, and Pastor Mark's good enough, he'll fix it for me. He's not. He'll tell you that. Calling off on you, Pastor. No, it's a good word. We need to go straight to that. Okay, Jeremiah 29:11. We're going to wrap up with this. We all know the scripture, but I'm going to read the part that we play. For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not evil, to give you a future and a hope. Stop right there, babe. So we all read that, right? God wants a future for me. God wants a hope. That's God's part. Okay, so this is what we're doing through life. We hear that, oh, I put it on the fridge. Woo! It's on my car. It's everywhere. Here's what God wants for me. Here's what God, and it's good, don't get me wrong, but do you realize that God always is that, has already done that, and it's a finished work that we're walking out, and this is what he has for you, and it's your turn. It's like playing chess. I used to always use this analogy, and I preach about this. I'm playing Bryson chess. I'm the white pieces. I got to go first. It's your turn. So what happened was, God's already done this, and you're still waiting on God to move again, but he can't because it's not his turn. He already sent his son. He's already given us victory. He's already played the piece. And he's wiped off the board. And he said, all you guys want me, just take the one step. It's just my piece and yours. And when you take it, I'm done. Wow, that's a good analogy. God just showed me that. There's only one step to take. And it's one piece and you move it forward. Woo! That's powerful. Sorry, that was a God moment there. So whenever God's played the chess piece and it's just our turn. Okay, so here we go. So the next scripture, no one reads 12, 13, and 14. This is your key when we leave here today. Then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you. We leave this out. And you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. Stop right there, babe. Wow. That's good, isn't it? But why do we not? Here's what I get. There's a lot of scriptures like that. You know, we always do the Ten Commandments, and I want them in there and everything else. I love it that the Ten Commandments are ever there. But if we leave Jesus out of that, we've left the covenant. I want the Ten Commandments everywhere, but all it's doing is leading us to the fact that we need to have Jesus. That's what the Ten Commandments do. You see what I'm saying? We have to be careful when we just throw scriptures out there. They're all good, but we don't want to take this out of context because he said, then you will call upon me and go and pray. And you know when you normally do that? When you've hit rock bottom. You don't have anywhere else to go. Who's been there? So I hit rock bottom. I have nowhere else to go. So now I'm going to pray to you, God, because it's the last thing on my mind. Because I can fix everything myself. I'm a pretty good fixer. Carrie's a better fixer than I. But what I learned is I would just rather just go to God first. I see stuff coming. It ain't going good. I'm just going to seek you, Lord. I come up here this week. Not that God cares if I win a baseball game or not, but I come up here and I sit right here. God, help me. Things are going good. And when what's at stake, when I look at these young people, I want to get it right. Families, lives, future, kids, grandkids, all rely on the fact that they need this. And we're leaving them to the wilderness. And we have to stop. That's my call. The call on my life is Mark, go. I'm not called, I'm sent. And wherever God tells me to go next, that's where I'm going. But here's what I'll tell you. If you will listen, here's what he says, and you will search for me with all your heart because I got to the place I don't have nothing left. And so all of my heart was seeking the Lord, all of it. And you know what happened when it did? I found him. And you know the only place that I found my greatest victory was my worst day. On my knees, on my face, crying out to God, it can't get any worse, and then it did. And I said, God, it can't get any worse than this. Stop it now. And then it got worse. Because God wanted my heart. So even though Jeremiah 29:11 is God's plan, it's your turn today. He's calling us out. He wants us to make that. And you testify to someone. Expose it. Bring it to the light. You have a friend. Pastor Mark's my pastor. Doesn't matter if I preach or wherever I go. He's the anointed man in my life that's my pastor. I bring it to him. I expose it to him and my wife. You know, we want to expose it, bring it to the light, okay? I want you to understand the victory that we have in it. You will call upon me and you will listen, and I will listen to you. Oof. Call upon him now. I start calling upon him when it's good. Okay? And we need to all start doing that today. Amen. Okay, so we're going to wrap up and pray. Anybody get something out of this today? Amen. Okay. Give the Lord a hand clap. Yes. Yeah. Give the Lord a hand clap. We need grace and mercy. We need to seek God and who He is. And I'm going to lead us in a prayer of salvation. Pastor Mark does this every week. And today, if you don't know the Lord as Savior, we're going to pray. I'm going to want you to pray this prayer with me, okay? Before we pray and close. Yes, I want everybody to pray this with me, even if you know the Lord. I pray it every week, and I'm like, Lord, there's still part of me that goes, please listen again, God, because I'm going to keep praying it. Amen. I know I'm saved, but I'm going to keep praying it anyway. So all of us pray. Say, Lord Jesus, I ask you to come into my life. Forgive me of all my sins. I repent of my sins before you this day. I denounce Satan and all of his works. I confess Jesus as the Lord of my life. Thank you for saving me. I believe in my heart, and I confess with my mouth that you rose from the dead. I am saved. Write my name in the Lamb's Book of Life. Today is my God day with the Lord Jesus. I pray this prayer to the Father. In the name of Jesus, amen. Father God, we come to you in Jesus' name. God, I'm thankful, God, that you're a good God. I thank you, Lord, for today. I thank you for this word. God, it cannot come back void. God, I know how much you love us, and it's our turn today to start walking in that victory and that salvation that you've given us. It's a free gift. I thank you for my family, the future that you've given us, and the things that are to come. And God, I just pray that this word cannot again come back void, and that you bless us till next week, Pastor Dusty, Pastor Mark, Mark Shell, Cammie. As we go through this month, God, you're going to reveal each week new things, new replacements in our lives, God, as we continue to seek you every day. God, I pray that over your people, that we'll seek you each and every day in all the ways that you give us, and we'll seek good counsel, and we'll seek your truth, because you're the way, the truth, and the life. God, it's a great day. It's a great God day for people here. And I'm thankful that we can live, that we can leave here and walk in victory. In Jesus' name, amen. Oh, give the Lord another hand clap. That's a good day. If you need prayer, I'm here. If anybody wants to talk about something that they heard today, I'm going to have Carrie come up here with me right quick, and we will stay, okay? We'll stay for a few minutes and pray for anything that anybody needs.